Children grow up and they learn the basics of Bible stories. But many cannot answer the question, why? And I read a little blurb on the internet about somebody was so disappointed that their child wandered away from the faith. They knew the stories, but they couldn't answer the question, why? Now, those of us who are parents, and they know that we know that our children are used to hearing us, the parents, and giving them advice. And as parents, we're constantly pointing out ways to keep them safe, perhaps improve their lives, accomplish their goals, and teach them what we want them to know. But sometimes children just see our lips move, they can hear our voice making noise, but they don't actually listen or register as to what we're saying. Well, my brothers and I have a deal. From time to time, we'll ask each other, the uncles to each other's children, to give certain pieces of advice to the children. Because advice that comes from a kindly uncle, an uncle who's not their parent, children tend to pay a little more attention to their uncle's advice. We call this advice from a kindly uncle avuncular advice. Now, the Oxford Dictionary uses the term avuncular, explains it, as relating to an uncle. But that's just a relationship between a man and his siblings' children. But that's just a technical meaning. So when we say somebody is avuncular, we usually mean kind and genial, maybe a little indulgent. Maybe they tell a bad joke that they're the only ones that laugh at once in a while. You know, the usual uncle stuff. Well, the title of today's message is Avuncular Advice, subtitle, Be Curious. Avuncular Advice, Be Curious. Well, the first one, a look at the etymology or the origin of the word curious from Latin, curiosus, means careful or diligent or inquiring eagerly, sort of like wanting to know. Well, today we're going to review 7 points of avuncular advice. 7 points of advice that have been clued into us through scriptures. Now, the first point is be curious, seek knowledge. Be curious, seek knowledge. Now, before I take my car to a mechanic for repair, I look up in an auto repair manual or I go online to learn the terms and procedures. I don't want to be naive about the cost of car repairs. Well, because ungood things can happen if you go in naive. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So seeking knowledge can help us out. But what happens if I just skip the part about gaining knowledge and I blindly trust that I'll be taken care of by the service technician? We also in Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. And there's a second half of the verse that I'm very uncomfortable with, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Oh, and I've been caught with that from time to time. I thought from once in a while that cost of a car repair might be relatively inexpensive, but it might surprise me and turn out to be much greater than my bank account. So I've learned the hard way that it's foolish to be unprepared. The same thing is true in our secular lives as in our religious lives. We must seek knowledge from the source of expertise. So in the case of God's truth, we turn to the source of expertise, and that is God's Word, the Holy Bible. So the first point is, of avuncular advice, be curious, seek knowledge. Seek knowledge. Now, of course, what knowledge is good if we don't do something with it? And that is, so point two is be curious and seek wisdom. First comes knowledge, then comes wisdom. So be curious, seek wisdom. In Proverbs 10:21, we read the lips of the righteous feed many, Proverbs 10:21. But fools die for the lack of wisdom. In other words, they're not eating. They're not making the best decisions that will help them out. They're not using their knowledge in a wise manner. So knowledge alone isn't wisdom. Knowledge is essential to gain wisdom, but we have to then gain and apply the knowledge and experience to develop wisdom. Now, Proverbs 14:6 gives us a little more insight. Proverbs 14:6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and doesn't find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Well, if you just say you're seeking wisdom, but you don't really do the homework, then it's going to be hard to understand that. But knowledge is easy to one who understands. So at a minimum, we must recognize that wisdom is extremely desirable to improve our lives. Solomon understood this important but challenging priority. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 13. In Ecclesiastes 1:13, "And I set my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised." Whoa, he called it a burdensome task. When we ask God to give us wisdom, we have to be sure to temper our requests by also asking for wisdom to be gained gently and not just as a result of our own stupid mistakes. Because that's one way to gain wisdom. Do learn everything the hard way. And then some people even then have a hard time with it. But point two of avuncular advice on be curious, seek wisdom. Then we go, but how do we apply knowledge to gain wisdom? There's a way to do that, and that takes us to point three. Point three is be curious, seek advice. Be curious, seek advice. In Proverbs 1, in verse 5. In Proverbs 1, verse 5, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." I recently saw a meme on the internet about a person asking a friend that said, "How did you get to become so wise?" And the friend replied, "I gained wisdom by observing what happens to people who take my bad advice." Well, in other words, capable of learning from not just your own. I mean, there's three ways to learn. You know, learn by reading, learn by observing others, or three, making the mistakes for yourself. So we must ask for advice. In Proverbs 12:15, Proverbs 12:15, it's repeated, "A way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." You see, if you already know everything, then we don't need to ask anyone. Now, my uncle explained to me, he said, "You know, people who think they know everything are really quite annoying to those of us who really do." And so the world is full of people who think they know so much they don't have to ask for advice. Well, we must ask for advice. Now, of course, hearing advice and actually following the advice are two very different things. In Proverbs 19 and verse 20, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days." So listen and then receive, take it in. And then it says that you would be wise instantly. It doesn't say that. It says that you would be wise in your latter days. The wisdom kind of comes slowly to many of us. We don't always listen to the advice when we're young. Then after we've had some bad advice, we'll ponder, "So that's why I was told not to do whatever it was that I actually did." And so we might hear wise counsel, but it's even more important to listen to wise counsel. Now, we have an example of that in Daniel 2, and verses 13 through 15, where the prophet Daniel when the decree went out from the king to begin killing the wise men, the king of the captain's guard then sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. And verse 14, "And then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered the captain of the king's guard." He sought counsel first. His life was on the line. He wanted to pay attention, learn what the best way to approach this, and then ask. And he asked, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" So he responded only after asking advice. How do you deal with this? My life is on the line here. I really want to know. I'm not going to wing it here. If we turn to Proverbs 11 and verse 14, in Proverbs 11, 14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So if people just wing it, they go on their own without wise counsel, without advice, wise advice, they're often destined to get hurt. And I suppose that we all much prefer safety, because it says in the verse, Proverbs 11:14, it says, a multitude of counselors, there is safety. I much prefer safety. In Proverbs 15:22, this principle is repeated. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So if you have a plan, you probably get, you know, to accomplish something. It's a good idea to get more input than just come what's between our own ears. The multitude of counselors, doesn't say one, doesn't say two, it says a multitude of counselors. So seeking many counselors allows us to compare and contrast advice. We can examine the advantages and disadvantages of certain ideas or situations. And then, if multiple wise counselors agree, we might be more confident in making a good decision. Now, many counselors doesn't mean many foolish counselors, because you can gather those to yourself too. In Isaiah 47, verse 13, the prophet Isaiah writes, you are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. In other words, it can be very tiring here. He goes on, let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. In other words, you're picking bad counselors, astrologers, as it were, stargazers, people that are doing not godly wisdom. And it says, let them save you from the bad advice that you're getting from them. So we have to be sure that we aren't picking counselors that only say what we want to hear. It's okay to compare various viewpoints then, but to come up with the best decision. But it's important to seek advice, which is point three, be curious, seek advice. But if we don't seek advice, we're at risk for suffering damage to our bodies, to our finances, to our reputations, and so forth. So point four, by now you might be noticing a pattern. Point four is, be curious, find the truth. In Proverbs 18, verse 17, and I've had occasion to see this in practice many a time, Proverbs 18:17, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. You ever heard some wild stories? How could that ever be? Boy, so-and-so's a fruitcake. You know, you just heard one side of a story. And then what is the last half of the verse? Until his neighbor comes and examines him. In other words, what is the full story here? If we read the paraphrase in the Living Bible in Proverbs 18:17, it's paraphrased this way. Any story sounds true until someone tells the other side and sets the record straight. Now, I suspect that everybody listening to this message has been falsely accused of something at one time or another. And you may recall, those of us who are old enough to know about a television show called Perry Mason. And the defense attorney in the courtroom was able to present the other side of the story. And that other side of the story often turns false accusations upside down. So the question then for us is, how patient are we to learn the whole truth before we assuming that the first thing we heard was credible? Some people are gullible, and some are quite willing to believe the first story that reaches them. About 50 years ago, I heard the comedian Groucho Marx say, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Well, that was in the days before Photoshop or the artificial intelligence, where they can modify and manipulate things. So now it's even harder to discern and differentiate the truth from a lie. So point four is, be curious, find the truth. We must diligently search out the truth. Point five, be curious. Know where to find the truth. Be curious, know where to find the truth. In Psalm 25, verse 5, we read, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Now, at first read, we would think in the New King James, "In you I wait all day." It's like somebody sitting on their hands, twiddling their thumbs, and waiting. But if we take a look at that word, the Hebrew word in Strong's H6960, Kava, Q-A-V-A, it means to expect, to patiently tarry, or wait upon or wait for. So think in terms of like a waiter in a restaurant. Does the waiter stand there at the table at every moment, or are they simply on call? Okay, so whenever you have a need. And so when we read this verse on you, meaning on God, I wait all the day. I'm prepared to serve you, but I need to be led in the truth. I need to be taught for that. The in Acts 17:11, we have an example. In Acts 17:11, and I want to preface this verse by saying that the Apostle Paul walked in the door today, and he said something, said that the scriptures refer to something that we've never heard before. And I'll give you a wild example, like the moon is made of green cheese. Well, how many people would actually look up the scripture to find out whether these things were so? Well, let's read Acts 17 and verse 11. Now this is, in Acts 17, 11, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness." They had open hearts, open minds. They wanted to know what the apostle said, "and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Did they take it at face value? No. They were curious enough to look to the source to find out where we could find that truth. And so point five was to be curious, find the truth or find where the truth comes from. And just as the Bereans, they searched the Bible daily. Point six, be curious. Seek peace and pursue it. Be curious, seek peace and pursue it. In Psalm 34 and verse 14, in Psalm 34, 14, we read this verse. It appears more than one place in the Bible. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So it's not enough to simply avoid doing evil. It's not enough then to just do good. We must be active in seeking peace. Now, some people thrive on drama. And if there isn't something dramatic going on in their lives, they are going to stir something up, even to their own hurt. And I have seen people prod others with false accusations, sometimes just to get a reaction. In other cases, the false accusations foment an ongoing strife or war with others. And if there seems to be healing, then the drama person picks the scab, so to speak, and kind of tries to keep the strife going, keep the drama going. We read in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A soft answer. Wow, there's a concept. How many people really take that to heart by answering softly and not the harsh word? Like, "Oh, what's it to you?" Ooh, that's a little bit harsh. A softer way would be say, "I'll consider that. I'll think about it." Very different approaches. The Apostle Peter must have read Psalm 34 and verse 14, because in Psalm 34, 14, we read that. But let's read now 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, of 1 Peter 3, 11. And Peter writes, "Let him turn away from evil and do good." Oh, we heard that in Psalm 34. "Let him seek peace and pursue it." It's a nearly word-for-word repeat of Psalm 34. Peace does not happen all by itself. Peace is a deliberate choice. In Matthew 5 and verse 9, as the listing of the Beatitudes were there, in Matthew 5 and verse 9, we read, blessed are the peacemakers. But it doesn't stop there. For they shall be called the sons of God. Notice that's future tense. They shall be called the sons of God. So if we're going to have a converted mindset, we want to be a peacemaker. We don't want to be the scab picker, the trouble causer, the one that stirs up the strife, the drama, the one who doesn't do the research, that isn't at peace with the neighbor. They want to be follow a converted mindset, be a peacemaker, strive to be at peace with ourselves. Some people aren't at peace with themselves, and they're never going to be at peace with anybody else either. To be at peace with our families, with our church brethren, and with our neighbors. So point six is to be curious, seek peace, and pursue it. It's a worthy goal. Point seven, be curious, seek good friends. Be curious, seek good friends. In Proverbs 12 and verse 26, in Proverbs 12, 26, we read, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. How do you react when you see someone and they fall in with the wrong crowd? Do you get that gut feeling that things aren't going to turn out well for the person you know? So picking good friends can be very beneficial for us. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, Proverbs 27, verse 17, the value of a good friend, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So friends can help each other. Does it say they come to blows, knocking each other out? No, it says sharpen. In other words, taking the rough edges off, helping them to be better at who they are and what they are. Now, it was many years ago, I'd moved to another state, and I prayed, God, please give me a friend. This is a big church, there's 400 people, and I don't know anybody, I'm new here, and this was decades ago, and I said, I need a friend. And I didn't think about it, but over time, developed a variety of relationships, and there was a family, and I have a flock of children, and another family had a flock of children. Because you have a bunch of children, people didn't invite you over to their house for fear it would tear the house up, which is not uncommon to see the house torn up or people not inviting. So we invited each other over back and forth because we both had a flock of kids, and it couldn't get any worse than what it already was in our houses, right? And one day, he mentioned, you know, I appreciate you being my best friend. And the light bulb went on. It had happened slowly over time to develop the friendship, the comfort, the ease of being with someone who was not afraid to help for the iron to sharpen iron, to be able to talk about anything, and to have that close relationship that was really beneficial, and that was an awareness. It didn't come like lightning struck. It happened gradually over time. And that friendship exists to this day. In Proverbs 16, 28, in Proverbs 16, 28, we read a little about the drama person. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. You ever know somebody has a little whisper campaign? Boy, let me tell you about so-and-so. Oh, did you hear about XYZ and ABC and all these other? And the back chatter. And we go back to the stories. They didn't search out the truth. They didn't seek the scripture. They didn't look for the truth. They weren't a good Perry Mason to find the whole story. And so people took action based upon whispers. And so a friend would not do that to you. They would directly talk with you. There's a Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Sometimes it's better to say nothing. In Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Yeah, maybe your friend screwed up. Maybe they messed up. Maybe they did something they shouldn't. Maybe there's a disappointment somewhere along the way. So you get on your megaphone and you announce it to the whole world. You put a bumper sticker on that says, so-and-so is a jerk. You don't have to do that. You don't have to repeat the matter. You don't have to be difficult about it. If you truly love and want that relationship to continue, there are some things that are better left just to leave it alone. They will find out if they're a converted mindset, they will seek the truth themselves. But sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes we have people who blow their cork, and they're angry all the time. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. In Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Oh, that's pretty serious. So if there's somebody that always has that attitude, okay, who's always got some, you know, a bone to pick with somebody about somebody, and they're repeatedly like that, we are instructed, don't go there. Do not develop a close relationship with the person who's always angry, who's always furious. Okay? You want a converted mindset to be a friend. So point seven is be curious, seek good friends. Now, avuncular advice, as if a kind uncle told you, was to be curious and seek knowledge. That was point one. Number two is to be curious and seek wisdom. In other words, how to use that knowledge. Point three was to be curious and seek advice. Sometimes we have to stretch out to find that advice from far and wide. Point four is to be curious to find the truth, which may mean we have to search out what was said, search out our neighbor, get the full picture of what somebody said. Point five is to be curious to read the Bible and find the truth. In other words, go to the source of spiritual knowledge. Point six is to be curious, seek peace and pursue it. It's a valuable life endeavor, and it's worth it to be at peace with yourself, peace within the family, peace within your community, and peace everywhere you go that you can, to the extent that you can. And point seven, be curious, seek good friends, because good friends are a good investment. And does it happen all at once? Do you instantly get a good friend? I do remember, and this was, I think, when my oldest daughter was 9 or 10 years old, and she had met a friend at the feast, and they had visited, were visiting from 1,000 miles away. But I remember, and they were fast friends, but I remember when they first met, they instantly decided that they were new best friends. It took them all of 5 seconds to make that decision, but they were 8 or 9 years old and had a great time. Boom, and off they went as the best of friends. I don't know, they may still be these friends today, 40 years later. So seek good friends, because it's an enormously valuable endeavor. Solomon is known as a wise man, and we often quote from the Proverbs, and many of these are from Solomon. In Proverbs chapter 1, in the first 7 verses, I want to close with this. The first 7 verses of Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma. Enigma is a puzzling statement. The words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom, and instruction. It's our function and purpose in life to learn how to make good decisions so that we can join the kingdom of God, and that God then can use us in His family, in His kingdom. And in order to make good decisions, we must be constantly prepared to ask questions and embrace the truth. Let us all be curious and seek the truth.